This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by John Brown. John is coming to us from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Louisiana. I'm going to talk to John today about leadership, population health, and more. John, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure thing. Good morning. My name is John Brown, and I'm the Senior Vice President and Chief Human Resources Officer at Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Louisiana. It's headquartered in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
So can you talk about HR today, leading HR in a major organization, a big organization? How much has that moved from people skills, technology skills, or the mix of both today? You must have a ton of employees.
We have approximately 2,500 full-time employees and another roughly 2,500 contractors and seasonal employees. And you're right, the evolution of human resources has been pretty dramatic over the past 5 to 10 years. And what makes it even more interesting for me personally is my background is not rooted in human resources. I have an electrical engineering degree and have spent the majority of my career in service operations. So my transition over to human resources occurred roughly 3 years ago. And I think what has helped me manage in the human resources space is it is indeed human resources is about people, about getting the best out of individuals and positioning them in spaces in your organization where they can add the most value as well as get the most value out of what your organization has to offer. And it is indeed a blend of not just human resource, but also, as you mentioned, technology, process, and bringing a discipline to the human resources function and potentially, I'd say, maybe a different way of looking at things where you truly can drive partnership with the business versus just being, you know, sometimes HR is looked at as a cleanup organization. Something's broken, call HR to fix it. Something's not going well, call HR to make it better versus looking at human resources as being a closely aligned business partner to help the business areas get the best out of what it is they're doing, leveraging people, process, and technology. But it has certainly evolved over the years to be a much tighter blend of all three, where it cannot look at human resources as purely the human side of things. It has to have that nice blend and the connection between all areas to improve business outcomes.
And it's really a great mix of personal and technology skills. I mean, how excited were you to make this career transition, a different way of approaching things, a different lens? It must have been exciting for you to make that transition into running, and you're running a major, major operation today. Very exciting?
It was very exciting. It was also a bit daunting, I'll be honest. It was, while I was extremely and am extremely excited to be in the space, I think it is a great space to be in, especially given all that is going on, being able to align staff and to equip your talent to be able to add maximum value to your organization, even as the business environment changes, I think is really important. One of the other interesting things was, and the human resources community has been very accepting, but there were a number of raised eyebrows, which is what is an operations guy doing over here in human resources? And I think it took just a moment for the human resources community to further embrace and understand that, you know, the discipline that was sort of crafted within the service operations space and letting data and intel help inform decisions. Also looking at the very close link with sort of what I will call the customer's experience, right, that was ingrained in me over 30 years in the service operations space. You know, we in human resources, we have customers as well. They're internal, but they are customers nonetheless. So ensuring that the tools that we use, the processes that we develop, that we leverage the business areas to co-create versus us just declaring that here's what it is and organization just follow it. So it has been very exciting for me. It has been a lot to learn, but I was able to bring an awful lot to the table as well to help us sort of reimagine and rethink how we deploy HR practices, policies, and how we partner. And that has been extremely well received by the business areas because historically HR can be seen or will oftentimes present itself as a separate entity, sort of the principal's office, so to speak. And, you know, HR dictates what happens versus partnering with the business to put things in place that adds max value.
And talk for a moment about you've had this great transition into leading HR after a long career at Blue Cross, I assume, into a great career, great transition. And then that transition you had to double down on in this COVID era as you manage 2,500 full-time employees, another 2,500 contractor workers. And I imagine there was a huge change to how and where they worked over the last 6 months. And talk for a moment about that transition and having to double down on both technology and people skills to keep people on board and engaged and working. Well, I'm sure some of them moved remote and so forth.
Absolutely. So the pandemic has been sort of a classic case of being flexible, being agile, and rethinking how you do work. So like most other companies around the country, we had to make a very swift transition to remote working. And while fundamentally we had a number of, we were approximately 15 to 20% remote workforce prior to the pandemic, but literally within a matter of a week, that jumped to over 90% remote. The only in-house or on-campus workers that we had full-time were those who had roles who could not perform their roles remotely, such as, you know, print center, mail center, security guards, et cetera. And so it was a massive effort that, it, again, goes back to having extensive training or background in customer service certainly helped with the work that was required on the human resources side, because it was a matter of looking at the logistics of getting employees, literally getting them home and getting their equipment home with them, as well as in parallel developing protocol to ensure that the work that they're doing is able to be done as efficiently from a remote location as it was being done on location or on site, and as well helping our leaders who were used to having the vast majority of their employees sitting next to them or in close proximity. Now there is distance between them. And so that's the ability to manage a remote workforce well is not necessarily something that a leader, unless they have done it before or unless they have been equipped with the tools and the training to do it, it's a transition for leaders as well. So it has been, it continues to be. It's not that we have, that we are out of the pandemic. We have, we continue to evolve our strategies. There's a tremendous amount of training and a tremendous amount of tools that are made available to leaders as well as to our employees because of the adjustment that is required. And we've been particularly communicative during this process. So we employed a pulse survey where every week since March, we've just been asking our employees, how is it going? What things are working well? What things are not going so well? And we are doing that now so that we can continuously assess what adjustments we have to make on the fly. And it's been a tremendous partnership between the Human Resources Department, our facilities, our administrative services area, our IT department, to ensure that we're in lockstep so that at the end of the day, for our employee base, they are getting what they need and able to perform as efficiently as possible while they are remote. And then you have this added element that is, because this has not just affected the business areas, you have schools that have been impacted and other things, we've had to really double down on resources and training available to all of our employees because as they transitioned home, those who had school-aged children were transitioned home as well. So they were not only there to and having to perform their normal job at, you know, full capacity, but they also had to provide, you know, become sort of an in-home teacher. They had to provide other services that that a typical employee did not have to engage in the normal course of their day. So it was really has been and continues to be an effort to ensure that we are just empowering our employees and providing with them the tools and equipment they need to be effective, as well as providing for them opportunities to decompress. So we also implemented a number of things to such as, you know, added to the amount of paid time off that our employees would have. We thought it very important, still think it very important for employees to care for themselves during this pandemic. Also, there's so much going on. We wanted to make sure that we were also providing for their well-being. So giving them additional time off to take, no strings attached. It is take the time off just to decompress and unwind, because if you are good and taking care of yourself, you can be much more available to your family, much more available to our customers and your colleagues.
Well, fantastic. And John, let me ask you this question. Louisiana is a state that originally was hit hard by COVID-19, post Mardi Gras period of time and so forth. How are things looking now? How have things felt the last few months? Just a quick, you know, very quick sense of it from just a personal perspective. What are you seeing and what do you feel?
Yeah, so we because of the nature of the business we're in, work very closely with the Department of Health, and things have improved, but we are still not by any stretch out of the woods as we're seeing this sort of this increase, this spike that has been occurring across the country most recently. Louisiana is still not in a great place. We're better than where we were early on, but we're still sort of what we are calling phase one. Where things are still very restricted or limited in terms of what is the businesses and others and how our residents are moving about. So we still have a ways to go. We've implemented across the state a number of measures aligned with the federal guidelines. But this is one that it's as challenging for us as it is for a number of other states across the U.S. While we're again doing a bit better than we were in March and April, we still have to remain vigilant in order to contain the spread of the virus.
Fantastic and insightful. Thank you very, very much. You've had this great leadership career. Take a moment and give two to three pieces of advice that you would give to emerging leaders.
So the two or three pieces of advice, and again, there's a ton of things that I would say this. One is listen to your heart, and I don't mean to sound overly, fluffy there. But when I say listen to your heart, you can read any number of leadership books and things that will say, here are the 20 things that all great leaders do. But I would remind, up and coming leaders to, one of the simplest forms of leadership is to look behind you and see if anybody's following. Right. I think in general, people tend to follow leaders who they believe are empathetic, leaders who they believe are compassionate, who listen and care and are prepared to take them where they need to go. And while there are bumps along the way, I think a genuine leader is one who may not be able to articulate all of the fancy terms and definitions that you may see in some of the books that are in existence. But it is really a matter, number one, of just looking behind you and seeing if anyone's following. If the answer is no, then there's an opportunity to be circumspect and take a look at what it is that you're doing and see if there are things that you can evolve. The second thing I would say is to really pay attention to the people around you. I think most leaders, while it can be a very lonely space to be as a leader, I think most leaders do themselves a disservice by really believing that they have to fly solo and should not rely on input and intel from others. So for anyone who is in leadership now and is aspiring to expand their responsibilities, one is keep it simple, stick to the basics. And number two is really rely on others around you. There's a tremendous amount to be learned. And if we would, as leaders, allow ourselves to be open to insights and feedback that's coming from everywhere and anywhere, the likelihood of that equipping us to be better informed and to be able to make better decisions is certainly higher than if we, close ourselves behind a door and think that we're just going to magically come up with all the right answers ourselves. That's not how it works. And so leaning on support and others to learn from and humble ourselves to take that advice under advisement is what has helped me, I know, over the course of my career.
Well, fantastic. I love both pieces of advice, and I love this concept of leading with one's heart, and also this adage, this concept, if you look behind you and nobody's following, you might not be doing a great job as a leader, to be mindful
That's
of
right.
that. Right. No, John, just a pleasure visiting with you today. Anything else you'd like to leave our audience with before I let you go, and then we'd love to have you back on again. You're fantastic to visit with.
Oh, my pleasure. I look forward to the next opportunity as well. I would just leave with the audience again. This is we're in a very challenging time right now, and I would just encourage us all to really fall back on the things that we learned in kindergarten, right? If we can all remember, and for some of us it's a little more challenging than others to remember way back to kindergarten, but if you recall, I can remember in kindergarten, we were encouraged to share. We were encouraged to give and to learn, and those are the same characteristics and traits that even as full-grown adults and leaders, et cetera, those things are time-tested. So I would challenge us individually and collectively that as we continue to go through an unprecedented time in our country, this has been a very challenging year for all. I would again ask us to, let's go back to kindergarten, right, where we shared a cot, where we shared a cubby, where we spent time together just learning about one another. We spent time getting to know each other and doing things together, right, versus apart. If we could find a way to recapture, again, some of the things that we were taught as little children and applying them even in our lives as leaders or otherwise today, I think we'd be in a much better place. So that's my challenge to all as I attempt to challenge myself to do better as well and look forward to us continuing to grow individually, collectively, and grow as a nation so that we can be all that we're called to be.
Just fantastic, John. John Brown, love the concept. Share, give, learn. If you could do those three things, you're way ahead of the game. John, it's great to visit with you, Senior Vice President, Blue Cross Blue Shield. Just fantastic. Thank you very, very much.
All right. Thank you for your time today.